And there's a danger sometimes to freedom in the way we usually think of it. Freedom like we have in this country is sometimes we don't take our other, or we do take our other freedom for granted. Or maybe, like so many, we don't even realize that it's available to us. Holding the scripture in your hands is so dear in so many other places in the world. And it's become so commonplace here that I'm afraid that sometimes we forget the blood spilled so that we could hold it. Let us remember true freedom that is in Christ. I'm going to be reading from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning with verse 14. Let's talk about Jesus' return to Galilee. And where we kind of sit, Jesus' ministry has begun. He has been tempted by Satan at this point. He's already done some preaching in other places, and now he comes home. So Luke 4, picking up verse 14. Going to be focusing on the first or through verse 19, but I'm going to read some past that because the context of all this is important. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't it Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, and not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up and drove him out of town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way." I really read that far because I wanted to get to that last few verses, because I think that's one of the coolest passages in the New Testament. An unruly mob like yourselves had... Okay, just kidding. This mob had grabbed Jesus, this man, right? They had grabbed this man and dragged him to the hill to throw him off. And it doesn't explain exactly what this looked like, but in the midst of this group of people that had a hold of him, manhandling him, dragging him to the edge of the cliff, and he just walked away. He just walked away. Now, I would have loved to have seen that. And this is not really what I want to talk about today, but I can't avoid just a little bit about this because this tells us so much about Jesus. First of all, it tells us the power of the Christ, the dominion over the physical. It also tells us about what he did on the day of Calvary. He was not forced to do. He could walk right away. He could have walked right through the crowd. But when the time was right, he did what he came here to do. And you wonder what they thought when he just walked away from the crowd. You know, it's interesting because this is one of the few places where we get an idea of what a synagogue service would have kind of looked like. And they were all gathered, and Jesus takes this scroll, and not coincidentally, he gets this reading from the prophet Isaiah. And among many things we can learn from this passage, I think this tells us a lot about ourselves. It tells us about who we are, who we can become. It tells us something about freedom. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. So Jesus came to who? The poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. So Jesus came to who? Recovery of sight for the blind. The blind. And to release the oppressed. This is who Jesus came to. And so we have to realize that in some sense or another, that we are all, without Jesus, we are all blind. We are all imprisoned. We are all oppressed. And we are all poor. This is who Jesus came to. So we must realize that without Jesus, since He came to the world, that everyone is poor, in prison, blind, and oppressed. And see, the great danger of living in a country that's free like ours, and I celebrate that freedom, but the great danger is that when we're living well, we may not understand, we may not realize that we truly are, without Jesus, not free. Or we're free in a civic sense, but without Jesus, we are not truly free. We may have great eyesight to see the things around us, but without Jesus, we are spiritually blind. We are eternally blind. We are oppressed by sin without Jesus. So with Jesus, we are free. We are no longer oppressed by sin. We can truly see, and we now have the riches poured out of the storehouses of heaven upon us. We are no longer poor. But we have to shake the notion that our environment frames who we are. That's a difficult thing to do. We're caught up in our environment because it does affect us greatly, does it not? Where we live, what kind of house we have, whether or not the air conditioning's working. You know, the people without power these last few days have had a very difficult time, and I'm not belittling that at all. But it is, again, for a moment. I'm going to read a story from the book of Acts, but you can stay where you are in Luke. This will just take a second. This is Paul was in prison. He was in chains in prison. People were praying for him. Paul and Silas were praying, and they were singing hymns to God. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and he saw the prison doors open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You see, Paul, on the outside, Paul, from what we could see, was imprisoned. He was oppressed. He was in chains. But I don't believe a freer man ever walked the face of the earth than Paul in those moments in chains. Most people unfairly imprisoned, if sometime after midnight there was an earthquake and the doors flew open and your chains came off, what would most people do? Right. Make tracks, right? You'd be gone. But Paul was already free. Paul was already free. And look what happened moments later. The one responsible for keeping him under lock and key, now became free himself and entered the kingdom of heaven because he saw what true freedom looked like. So we have to understand that true freedom, eternal freedom, comes from Christ, and it's in here, and it lasts forever. We want to celebrate our physical freedom, our civic freedom. We want to work for the freedom of people around the world who are unfairly imprisoned. There are Christian missionaries imprisoned around the world. There are people who don't have the liberties we have. Don't have the opportunity to hear the Word of God because of the laws of the nation in which they live. But which is better? Which is better, to know Jesus in China or to live here and not know Jesus? Which is better? It's hard to say, isn't it? I mean, we know what the right answer is. If I called on you, you know what the right answer is to say, but it's a difficult thing to have to chew on. But it's still true. It's still true. And many people are called into those foreign lands under the cover of darkness sometime to bring the light of Christ into places where Jesus is not freely spoken. The name of Jesus is not freely spoken. And I pray for those men and women who do that. I pray for those people, some of whom you know, who spend time in those scary places. But I look around and see the church dying in America, in the land of the free, in the home of the brave, in the land of the freedom of religion. And I say, what are we doing, church, to proclaim? What are we doing, church, to proclaim what Jesus proclaimed here? What are we doing, church, in and around us, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our workplaces? What are we doing to preach the good news to the poor? What are we doing to proclaim freedom for the prisoners? Are we helping people to see? Are we helping them out of their oppression under sin? It's difficult sometimes. And everyone seems to have everything. But if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. Jesus spoke once and said that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And you may have heard this story that there was an actual gate called the eye of the needle. And it's kind of like the man door in your garage. You know, you got the big door that opens up for your vehicles, but then you got one you can just walk through. Well, the eye of the needle was kind of like that. And when the other gates were closed, it was kind of the last one left open until they finally shut down at night. So people who were coming in at, you know, after it had gotten dark could still have a way in. But if a merchant showed up late with a camel laden with goods, had to try to get him through that little door, it was possible. You can get a camel on its knees and make it shuffle. But it's a lot of work. And it takes a well-trained, easy-to-get-along camel to do it. It's a lot easier if you don't have all the baggage. It's a lot easier if you don't have all the stuff. It's not impossible. But it's easier. Jesus wasn't saying that rich people can't be saved. He was saying it's very difficult because they want their stuff, and when you have the stuff, you think you've got all that you need. There's a great, I saw, you could probably find this online somewhere, I saw a documentary once of these guys catching monkeys out in the jungle. They were selling the monkeys. And what they had was this big glass jar with a narrow neck, and it was attached to a big piece of like plywood. In the bottom of the jar were a bunch of shiny marbles. And they just set it out in the clearing, and the monkey would come out and reach in to get those marbles and get a fistful of them, and it wouldn't come out. And they would just walk out and pick up that board and carry it away. All he had to do was let go of what he had, and he'd be free. That's all he had to do, just let go, and he could have scampered off. But man, when he had that stuff, he wanted that stuff so badly, he wouldn't let go, and so he was trapped. The stuff isn't bad. Money is not the root of evil. It's that love of money, right, that the scriptures tell us about, that can blind us, that can prevent us from seeing what we really need. And so the great danger is that in a free and wealthy country, that people will go to their graves and leave a great estate behind with the gates of hell ahead of them. Let us pray for those who are doing the work overseas. But church, let us hear where we are, where we live, take up the call of Jesus. Let us introduce people to the one who has come to preach good news to the spiritually poor, to proclaim freedom for the spiritually imprisoned, to recover the sight of the spiritually blind, to release them from their oppression to sin. Let us proclaim to them the Lord's favor. Let us proclaim to them the Lord's favor. Because when those scales come off and you see a glimpse of eternity, you see what freedom really is. Amen.